like Better Off Saul.
What next That's series?
What, no, Better Off Ted. Yes. That's what we watched.
I was like, is this how I find out we're watching Better Off Saul? Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Pointless Discourse with myself, Patrick, and D Pain.
That is me, Pain of D.
We are back at it again. It does not feel like a week has gone by for us because it's been not a week since we've
been like 4 days.
But to you guys, it's been a whole week since we got to talk about Gravity Falls. We are up to fact 34. 35.
That was last week. 35. There we go. Yes. The series has a canceled episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, the producers canceled an episode that allegedly parodied another episode entitled Labyrinth. It is believed that Dipper's fear of puppets revealed in the canceled episode. However, this apparent fear of his did not show in the sock opera episode. Are you scared of puppets too? So, I wonder. Okay, yeah. It made it sound like it parried another. The episode was canceled, named Labyrinth, I guess. It's confusing because I'm looking at the picture and it's of Candy, I think, doing the play, and she's dressed like in David Bowie costume, and like when I read Labyrinth, I think of David Bowie. but yeah, it's. It's only been a couple days for us, which is funny, because I when we were trying to figure out the next time we could record, that was before friends and family decided to get in the way.
Yeah, I would have been fine with our usual time this week. This is the first week I would have been fine with our normal time, and mm-hmm. You're like, it's my turn. And I was like, go ahead, go forth, be social. Because I'm being social all the other possible times we can meet.
Well, it's not so much be social. It's pretty much my brother's like, hey, you want to go to the Franklin Institute? And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, not really. And he's like, yeah, we're going to a birthday party, so you won't get niece time. So I figured we could probably do something in the morning. And I'm like, okay, let me find out. Schedules and stuff, and then he's like, yeah, I was thinking about leaving like around 10 or 11, and I'm like, we start thinking about hitting record around that time. If we're lucky. So yeah, and then I asked him, how much is it supposed to cost? And he's like, I think like $50. I'm like, I like you guys, but not that much. Apparently it's because there's a Disney 100 year
exhibit.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's I said this on stream, so it's like I'm not all that concerned about saying it in a recording. As I've been pondering about maybe moving out of the area a little bit more than I have been, it's like, who knows what the future can hold, so let's get the time I can.
Wow. And there's me, who's like, my family texted me? Nah.
Yeah.
Okay, there's certain people in my family that I'm willing to text back immediately. Because, what was it, my niece texted me, and she was like, hey, I finally started playing Stardew Valley, and I was like, oh. Tell me more. And then she had originally texted me because one of my nephew's birthdays is coming up, and she told me that he started playing Bugsnax, and she was like, I know you have some plushies from the Bugsnax game, where did you buy them? I want to get him one of them. And then I was like, oh, I'll get him a different one if he likes the game. Easy present. And she's like, oh, get him this one. But yeah, so it's fun for me to listen to that stuff. But when I get the text, my phone isn't working, I'm like, that's not, I
Then how are you texting me?
Yeah. I don't want to have to fix technology, but...
Yeah, I don't really get those text messages because, well, two of my brothers, one is in the military and the other one lives in Florida. Actually, they both kind of live in Florida now. But, so if they're asking me for tech advice, it's like, you guys are smarter than I am with technology. It's like, figure it out yourself. It's like, you literally went to school for programming. Which I know that's not tech support, but it's, I don't know. He's always been, I'm at the age where I'm okay. It's okay to know that my brothers have excelled in different areas than me, and I don't need to be like, how dare they? I'm going to fight them for it. But, and then my dad kind of just, he's like, oh, hey, you're the only one here. Do you want jalapenos? And I'm like, I didn't use the last ones. Oh, well, if you need jalapenos, let me know. And I'm like, I will. I haven't used the ones you given me last time. They're just still in the fridge. So. Yeah. So pretty much the only time my brothers text me is like, when I do the initial text, or my brother's like, so for niece time this week, do you wanna? And I'm like, okay. which I don't mind. I do realize, though, this is not a problem for everybody, but this is a problem I realize for me, is that my niece doesn't recognize me when I shave my beard down. And the problem is it's hot. So I'm like, recognition or comfort? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure comfort's going to win tomorrow. But
you'll at least be at a museum. She'll be distracted enough that she won't be just staring at you, wondering who you are.
Nah, it takes her like twice as long to be like, realize who I am. So pretty much I just can't cut it as short as I do sometimes, which is... Normally, I didn't read the numbers correctly, and now my beard's a lot shorter than I was hoping it would be. So, but that is personal grooming choices is not the point of this podcast. Maybe that's other podcasts, but here we talk about shows like, I was trying to think of any of the other ones we did, and then the only ones that came to my mind were the ones for the next series. Like Better Off Saul.
What next That's series?
No, Better Off Ted. Yes. That's what we watched.
I was like, is this how I find out we're watching Better Off Saul?
No, I haven't even. I watched like the first episode of Breaking Bad, and I didn't like it. And everyone that is like a big Breaking Bad fan, they're like, oh, you at least had to get to episode 6. And I'm like, you lost me there. Like, that's 6 hours I gotta watch for it to get good? No. I'm okay.
If you guys can't tell, we're recording at night. And we're sleepy and old.
Whoa. I'm not that old. I'm just waking up.
Well... let's
which means you know you're gonna be talking about this episode.
I don't have a cough.
But you got the yawns.
Well, I was gonna say, let's roll our dice to see who's the most awake.
Segway. I'm gonna roll with triple advantage. Actually, it's just double advantage.
I need to get like a dice box or something that I put at my desk, because I was trying to roll the physical dice when I ran my D&D the other Sunday, and since I was rolling like multiple d6, they were just falling off my desk. But who's gonna say their number first?
I'm gonna say, I think you're talking this week.
I got an 11.
Well, take off one of those digits and you got my number.
A crit fail.
I think this is the second time I rolled a nat 1.
I think last week I rolled what, a 3?
Yeah, it was low.
I say last week. Last week for the viewers.
Yeah. I got what you're putting down. But I will say, before we go in here, both Hoff and I said, we didn't remember this episode. Like, I remember
jokes from it, but I don't remember, like, I thought this was part of another episode.
I thought pretty much The Last Mablecorn, that's the name of it. I thought, the title was way more of this episode's theme than it is.
Fair. Is there anything else you want to tell the viewers? We usually have less to share when we record so close back to back.
I will say we did figure out, because before it was like, hey, it might be coming out soon, but I think we settled on a date for book talk.
I didn't know if we finalized that.
Oh.
Well, I know that I got a bit distracted because we're also planning things with guests.
Yeah. So we'll just say that's coming out. When we have a confirmation, we'll let you know. And you'll just have to be okay with that.
Yeah, I think I suggested a date, but I didn't remember if you agreed
to that. I thought I did, but I don't remember. We'll just see. We'll see how the rest of the year.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. We're like, I don't know. I think we used up a bunch of our energy talking about books before recording.
Like every time.
Yeah. This is the predecessor to Pointless Discourse become the Pointless Pages or something. Ooh. Never mind. Pointless Pages would be PP. I'm immature enough for that.
All right. So if you're good to go, I'll jump into this episode.
Do it.
All right. So this episode opens up with everybody asleep at the Mystery Shack. They start to allude to something that's going to happen later in the episode, where Mabel is squeezing a stuffed unicorn. And when she squeezes it, it says, buy me 42 accessories. And as it's cutting between all the people, we end up on Ford, who's sleeping on a couch. And we end it up inside of his dreamscape, where he's kind of alone inside of a big field. And all of a sudden, a lot of the wheat starts to fall over, much like crop circles, and it makes the shape of...
Me.
You are him?
Yeah, sorry to let you know about this, but you did sign up to a deal, and this is why you're slowly getting tired and losing sanity.
Damn, your pupils don't look different.
For audio listeners, I just covered my eyes. Look, it's filters. I got like a an Instagram filter.
I'll be okay. Oh, but yeah, so then Ford ends up hearing the laughter of Bill. Oh, also for video watchers, I had put up my hands to kind of be like a triangle symbol to explain what shape the crop circle was in.
It was a Bill Cipher. It was a Bill Cipher crop circle. Yeah. He's the best character.
So he starts maniacally laughing, to which Ford immediately recognizes it, and Bill Cipher materializes within his dream and basically explains that, you know, he tries to chum up to him, like, oh, my old pal, sight for sore eye. Get it? Because he has one eye. And Ford's like, what do you want? And Bill's like, don't play dumb with me. And his nickname for him is IQ, where Bill has nicknames for everybody, which they kind of bring up a lot later in the episode. I don't remember if they bring it up any earlier. Deal with it, per D. Payne's filter he has put on.
Oh. You can't see my eyes now.
So Bill basically is like, just because you shut down the portal that I had you build for me doesn't mean that's the end of it. And he says that he can't keep the rift left over from shutting down the portal. He can't keep it safe forever. And he ends up burning the field around Ford in his dreams. And Ford's trying to get him out of here, saying that he has no dominion in the human realm. And Bill's like, not right now, but things change. And lots of imagery of Bill, like, being reflected in Ford's eyes. And then Bill goes into his monster voice and says things change as he laughs and flies away, leaving Ford all alone in the burning wheat field. And all of a sudden, a bunch of, like, images are, like, flashing by. I believe the wiki says You have Ford's hand, Ford's eye, an extended version of the Zodiac, and then Ford wakes up panting and trying to fix his glasses and says that he's got to warn everybody because he's coming. So we get theme song, and then we go to the daytime, and you see Dipper and Mabel opening up a closet for board games, trying to decide what they're going to do with their day. And they're looking through, and a lot of these names are like very much references to common board games. So they have Battle Chutes and Ladder Ships for Chutes and Ladders. You have Necronomiconopoly.
I would play that. I don't know what it is, but it sounds... Do you like just buy like the great old ones?
That'd be crazy. And there's... apologies to everybody. Don't Wake Stalin. Me being the more modern board gamer, I was like, is that... what's the Hitler game? That sounds terrible.
Secret Hitler.
Secret Hitler. Things like that.
No, it's Don't Wake Daddy.
I just saw the box. I was like, oh, is that...
it's the...
Children's Edition.
Expansion. The expansion. I was about to say DLC. I'm like, no, it's literally not a DLC.
Yeah, but then Dipper pulls out a game. Oh my gosh. This is what I get when I eat dinner. I ate a lot for dinner. I think I overate. So now my body's like, shh, we must digest. And I'm like, hold on. We got things to do. Well,
if you need to tap out like I did the one time because of me coughing, just let me know.
Yeah. So Dipper ultimately pulls out a game. The title of it across the front is What Could Go Wrong, the Board Game. And it has a banner at the bottom that says the last players who opened this box never made it out alive. Clearly a Jumanji reference with everything on it. And Mabel's like, I guess I know what we're doing today. And Dipper's like, yeah, it should take up like the next 21 minutes. And then Ford starts screaming family meeting. And while he's trying to gather everybody for a family meeting, we find Stan in the front of the house carrying a barrel of pugs. Because what was his crime? Illegal pug trade.
I think so. Give me one second. I can find it. If you want to keep talking, I'll find it and let you know.
All right. But yeah, so Sam basically says the person he's working with, Santiago, has 24 hours to get the pugs across the U.S. border. And Ford's still calling for a meeting, and Stan's trying to still coordinate all of this. So then the twins walk up to Ford and ask what's going on. And you see him like pulling stuff out of his bag, and there's like scrolls on the table. And Ford welcomes the kids in, to which
pug trafficking.
Okay, so he's literally pug trafficking in the front yard. And Mabel goes up to Ford and it's like, mysterious scrolls and potions, are you gonna tell us that we're old enough to go to wizarding school? And asks, is there an owl in this bag? And Ford, being like the too practical of an uncle, goes, if there is an owl in this bag, he's long dead. And Mabel's just like,
It's like, oh.
So he pulls out one of the scrolls and asks if the kids recognize any of the symbols on it. And they both gasp. And Dipper names him as Bill for Bill Cipher. And Ford's like, you know him? And Dipper's like, he's been terrorizing us all summer. Of course we know him. And Mabel's like... Oh, yeah. Dipper's been pretty paranoid since Bill turned him into a living sock puppet because everything that happened during the sock puppet theater episode. And Dipper makes it about being defeated, to which Mabel says, it was once with kittens and once with tickles. Which, like, out of context, I'm sure Ford is like, I don't know what's happening. Because Dipper is trying to defend himself, saying it's more heroic than it sounds. And Dipper's like, how do you know Bill? And Ford just kind of generally says that he's encountered many dark beings in his time, and that Bill's powers are getting stronger and stronger, and that no one will be safe if he's allowed to pull off all of the plans he has. So then Ford explains that he has a lot of ideas that should Bill-proof the shack and keep everybody safe. So he starts out drawing a map of the mystery shack, saying that they need to place moonstones and some mercury. And he's complains about having to acquire unicorn hair. And Dipper's like, is that rare? And Ford's like, it's hopeless. Unicorns reside deep within an enchanted glade, and their hairs can only be obtained by a pure good-hearted person who goes on a magical quest to find them. To which Mabel Perfect fit. To which Mabel immediately screams, saying, like, let me go. I want to go on the quest. I'm literally obsessed with unicorns. My first word was unicorn. I once made my own unicorn by taping a traffic cone to a horse's head. And we have a little picture of her being banned from the petting zoo. And then she just so happens to be wearing kind of like a sweater, her knit sweaters, but this one's like a sunset pattern with a unicorn patch on the front. She's like, do you even see what I'm wearing right now? Exclaims that she's probably the most pure of heart person in this room. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah, that makes most sense. Can't argue. So Mabel's like, I will give you my blood. Just let me go on the quest. And they're like, okay. And Ford says that it won't be easy and hands Mabel a crossbow and says to take this. And Mabel gets excited and about obtaining this. And Ford is like, is it okay to give children weapons? And Mabel immediately is holding the crossbow wrong, shoots it, and it sets off Stan's car alarm. To where Stan, in the middle of his committing crimes, is like, it's the cops! We gotta go! We gotta get this done!
Doesn't he yell it in Spanish, or I thought he yelled something in Spanish, but I don't see it.
That's
here.
That's way earlier when he's when Ford first calls for the family meeting. I think he tells Santiago to hurry up, but in Spanish.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So Mabel runs off, calling together all the girls. So she gets Candy, Grendo, and Wendy on the phone, and she runs out of the room. And Dipper's like, "What are the odds?" And Ford's like, "They're just frustrating to deal with." And then Dipper's like, all right, so then what are we gonna do about Bill in the meantime? So Ford asks Dipper to follow him, and they go into a elevator onto the next floor, where he introduces Dipper to his private study, where he keeps all of his ancient and secret knowledge, and that Grunkle Stan apparently doesn't even know about this place. And he's kind of hurrying Dipper along. Dipper doesn't get a chance to really look at anything and says that they're going to do the next best thing. If they can't bill-proof the whole shack, they're going to do it to their minds. And he starts to show him like a metal helmet with a bunch of wires on it. So while they're doing that, we cut over to the group of gals going on their unicorn adventure. And Mabel is excited to be out on it. And Grenda's like, forget the gal talk. I'm here to touch and or become a unicorn. And Candy says that she hears that if you lick a unicorn's neck, it'll be your favorite flavor in the world. And Mabel promises her that, you know, everything that they want, because she says that they're all friends. And Wendy says that she stopped believing in unicorns back when she was like 5. And she wants to make sure that the kids don't walk into a bear trap, essentially. So Mabel is like, she has the journal with her, and she's like, stop, this is the magical part of the forest. So she starts looking through. She's like, the gnome tavern is over there. The fairy nail salon is over there. But it says to summon the unicorn, one must follow the ancient chant droned only by the deepest voiced druids of old. To which we've got Grunda.
I got this.
And she starts chanting it. And Wendy's like, bet you $10 that nothing happens. And Mabel's like, I'll take that bet. And they all gasp as a fortress rises out of the ground and they begin to enter it. And Mabel says the paintings airbrushed on the side of Vans were true as they walk in and see the actual unicorn. And it neighs. And everyone's like freaking out. And Mabel just puts her hand up and Wendy gives her $10. Goes, yeah, yeah. So then the unicorn raises its head while a fawn is playing a pan flute nearby. And the unicorn says, hark, visitors to my realm of enchantment. And they all gasp. And Grenda has her mouth wide open, gasping, and a butterfly flies right in her mouth. And she immediately starts to choke and gag on it. And Mabel ignores that and is asking the name of the unicorn. And she says she is Celesta Bell Bithabel. Claims that she's the last of her kind and that they must take off all their shoes.
So Celeste Unicorn.
That's what she claims. I've also heard that's a good book.
It's also a song. It used to be, I think it's a movie from the 80s.
Mm.
That's also pretty decent from what I heard. I heard that everyone that like watched that like when they were kids, like when it came out, was like, They're just like, this, it's one of my favorite movies.
Okay. Maybe we'll have to find a list that fits in somewhere.
Let's keep going.
Before I have the brain turn on, just keep going.
No, okay. You've said something that's already activating some other movies, and I'm like, man, it'd be fun to find something, to find a time to watch this. So we're just gonna keep moving before we go into brain engine kicking off.
All right, I may be too tired tonight, but you are free to DM me on Discord with all your brain activities after we finish recording.
It's all good. Well. We'll just keep rocking and rolling.
Wendy being like, I've grown out of this. I can't believe this is happening. Doesn't take off her shoes. And the unicorn screams, all of you, take off your shoes. So then Wendy does. And Mabel is like, Celeste Bell, Bethel Bell, we have journeyed far and wide. And Grana's like, an hour. And Mabel says that she wants to protect her family with magical hair. And Candy snuck up next to the unicorn as she's kind of bent over listening to Mabel and is like, this is your chance, Candy, and goes to lick her on the neck. But the unicorn stands up before Candy can pull it off, and she looks very disgruntled. And the unicorn says that whoever it is may step forth, the girl of pure perfect heart. And Mabel confidently slides up and kneels in the spotlight and says, it's me, Mabel. And the unicorn says, what? You? A unicorn can see deep inside your heart, child. And there's like a glow and a heart shape on Mabel. And she says, he have done wrong. Wrong, I say.
Wrong!
And Mabel's like, I mean, I make fun of my brother a lot. And I did just shatter a window with a crossbow. And the unicorn says, your bad deeds make me cry.
And this reminds me of... what is it? Candy Mountain.
Yeah, Charlie the Unicorn.
I was thinking, I was thinking of Charlie bit my finger.
Yeah, so she cries a single tear, and it falls on a flower, and the flower dies, to which Mabel starts freaking out, and the unicorn says that come back when you're part of pure of heart. And it tells them, like, the exit's that way, by the way. And take your shoes. This isn't some shoe store. So they leave, taking their shoes. And Grenda and Wendy are trying to cheer up Mabel and saying, Wendy says, I wouldn't trust a horse that wears makeup.
Yeah.
So Mabel is like, I used to be one of the sweetest people I've known, but I've been slacking in that department, but we're going to fix it. So they go on a whole quest where they go and decide that they're going to do a bunch of good deeds for Gravity Falls to prove that she's purest of heart. And she pumps her fist up in the air, excited for this, and punches a bird out of the sky, and it falls over onto the ground. And they're like, that bird is fine.
It reminds me of a story that my brothers like to talk about when we were at the beach. It was like one of the last times my whole family was able to go down together, and like we're all there, and they had Chickies and Pete's on the boardwalk, and so we all decided to get fries, and like of course the seagulls are coming around, just like coming, and just like my brothers are like, no, what the heck's going on, and my mom's like the same way, and then my brothers looked over at me, from what they said, I didn't know we were allowed to punch the seagulls. And I'm like, it's my food. I paid for it.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't hit a seagull, but they left after a swing. It was like, I don't know. It's like, I don't punch living objects a whole lot. And so it's like the fact that was my knee jerk response of seagull coming towards food, go punch. And, yeah, that's what popped in my head when, Mabel, punched a bird.
So you relate to Mabel this episode?
In this one moment, I don't think I could relate to the pure of heart.
Yeah, so as they go decide who do all these deeds, we have Dipper Ford, in his secret lab, and Dipper is trying to get more information out of Ford about, like, what is Bill? As they're sitting in front of a lot of this technology he has out.
Oh, hop, by the way, Hey, everyone, spoilers for the episode.
Nice. So Ford explains that no one knows for sure what his origins are, but that he's older than the whole galaxy and much more twisted, and he doesn't have a physical form. He can only project himself into thoughts through the mindscape. And then he holds up, like, the rift to explain why he wants this. And then I believe he also gives Dipper that, like, chart, like, between, like, physical world and then that space in between, and then, like, dreamscape where Bill can exist.
Yeah, so, it's, you said dreamscape or the nightmare realm is nightmare where Bill realm, lives.
Yeah. And then Dipper's like,
the Disney version of hell.
Dipper's like, how do we keep him out of our minds? And Ford says there's a number of ways. For one thing, I put metal in my head. And Dipper laughs and says, like, oh, good joke. And then he knocks on his head. Oh, as I knock on my headset, I made a metallic noise. I was like, wait. And then I remembered I have a headset on my head.
Then she realized she's been protected from Bill the whole time.
Yeah, and then Ford says that the machine is a safer way to do this because he doesn't have to do surgery on Dipper, and that it'll scan and encrypt all of his thoughts, and they start playing through all of his thoughts, and it starts out what we expect. He's like, oh man, I'm with the author of the journal. And it goes, is my fly down? And then it just goes, Wendy, 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 Wendy. Oh, after he's singing Disco Girl.
Disco Girl!
And Dipper only finds the part where it's Wendy, 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 Wendy embarrassing, and is like, just forget about that last part. And, so then Dipper is still poking at, like, information about Bill Cipher, and Ford's like, do you trust me, Dipper? And Dipper's like, well, of course. And then Ford interrupts and says, like, trust me that it's not important, just work on strengthening your mind, to which we have the opposite thing. Mabel's trying to strengthen her heart, so they go off and they have a whole bunch of good deeds they're doing as they're singing a good deed song. So, like, they pick up snails and move them to the grass. They plant a tree, but it's behind Toby's door, and he can't open his door anymore because the tree's there. But don't worry, they planted a tree. This says they put a smiley face sticker. I'm pretty sure it's, like, a face mask on Stan's face. Mabel donates too much blood and starts passing out. She keeps ducks safe for crossing the sidewalk. Paints glitter all over the Northwest statue, fills up Lazy Susan's tip jar, and they all help a woman with her groceries. And all of these are, like, being, like, sung about. And then at the end, they check it off and claim that they've done 1,000 good deeds throughout Gravity Falls so that, you know, everything's going to be 100% bona fide. And then it cuts to the unicorn saying, not pure of heart.
Not pure of heart!
To which Mabel is confused, and Wendy's like, you know what? Mabel's a straight-up saint, you judgmental hoofbag. And Mabel's like, what am I doing wrong? And the unicorn says, doing good deeds for the sake of just making yourself look better is even worse. And from where she's sitting, she's crushing 10 dandelions that are, quote-unquote, basically children's dreams. And the unicorn says, I'm sorry, Mabel, but it's not my fault you're a bad person. To which everybody gasps, and Mabel runs off crying. And Celeste Bella Bethel Bell says that she has a 3 o'clock posing in front of a rainbow and just has the silliest, like, derpiest face, and she's going, nay, back and forth.
All while the satyr's just, like, playing the flute in the back.
Yeah. So they're all trying to encourage Mabel to say that, like, it's not as bad as she thinks. They don't need the unicorn hair anyway. They can all just give up. But Mabel is like, I'm not leaving until I can figure out what it is to make me pure of heart, because I'm the nicest person out of all of us. And she's asking to be left alone. So Wendy goes, you know what? We're going to do it the Wendy way. And Grenda's like, are you suggesting violence? Sabotage? And Kenny's like, Mabel's not going to like that. And Wendy's like, look, Mabel doesn't need to know. We need to stop trying to be so perfect. And we're going to be the crazy, angry, sweaty animals we are. We're not unicorns. We're women. And we take what we want. And they all start chanting about that. And Grenda proceeds to smash a rock on her head and goes, oh, is this too much? So,
nah.
So then we find ourselves at what's totally totally a bar for gnomes, because one of the guys is like, give me your daintiest honeysuckle. And the guy at the bar is like, I'm gonna need to see some ID. But then when he proceeds to kick the door open and all the gnomes try to run, it's the cops, hit the deck. And Wendy's like, look, I just need someone to tell me how to take down a unicorn, no tricks or games. And Candy breaks a glass bottle because we are human. We take what we want.
The theme of almost every fantasy book ever.
So one of the gnomes explains that it's fairy dust, and a whole bag, magic bag's enough to put a whole unicorn out cold. But this particular gnome says that they have to do them a favor. And this gnome that agrees to this is playing, I don't remember what the game is called, but like we saw in Aliens, where you're like, you have your hand out and you like hit between your fingers so that you don't stab your finger.
Well, they do it in Aliens.
That's what I said.
Oh, you did? Sorry, something popped up on Discord and I missed it.
Yeah, I said the game in Aliens.
I totally didn't hear Aliens. I was trying to find out what the heck was popping up on Discord.
Yeah, I don't remember what it's called. Do you remember what it's called?
Finger knife game? I don't know. I'll good Google enough. It. I'll see if it has an official name.
But yeah, so that gnome's playing this, and they start to broker a deal, and the gnome explains that the butterfly trafficking is illegal in this part of the forest. So, he says he likes butterflies because they tickle his face and make him laugh. So he says that he'll exchange fairy dust for a bag of butterflies. So they proceed to go and gather the butterflies, and they meet him in the secret spot, and the gnome's like it's a full-on drug deal. Like, there's no question about it. Mm-hmm. They're wearing overcoats. They're all, like, being suspicious in broad daylight. And Grenda's like, where do you get this stuff? As he hands her over two bags of fairy dust, and she hands him the jar with butterflies in it. And he says something like, everyone likes sausage, but no one wants to know how it's made. And Grenda's like, you disgust me. And he's like, you've got your poison, I've got mine, we made a deal. She goes, well, deal is off, as a bunch of policemen gnomes come out and they go, freeze, you're under arrest. And he goes, these butterflies aren't mine, I got framed, I swear. And the policeman says, tell it to the adorable owl, we have dressed as a judge. And he's like, give me my cut. And Grenda gives him the other bag of fairy dust. I was like, what is this scene?
It's a scene that somehow they got past Disney.
Yeah, but Mabel is, they catch up to Mabel, who's scribbling on a notepad trying to figure out what deed is the good deed that she needs to do. Whereas you see the rest of the group in like ski masks sneak up and go shh as they enter into the unicorn palace. And you see the unicorn reading Winnie Pray Trot, which is like Eat Pray Love, and is saying like, I wish I could travel, but it's not feasible in this economy. To where apparently I didn't catch this, but she gets hit with the fairy dust, and it says that the fawn starts playing SOS in Morse code.
I wouldn't have picked up that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have picked that up either. So then Grenda comes up to the fawn and like covers his mouth and goes, go to sleep, sleep now. And he passes out. And Wendy proceeds to try and get a cut of the unicorn's hair, to which Mabel is telling them to stop. And when he's like, no, you'll wake her up. You can't like do, you have to be quiet. And while they're arguing, the unicorn wakes up, sees the scissors in Mabel's hand, and goes, oh, doth mine eyes deceive me? Thief, you shall never be pure of heart. To which Mabel is trying to, like, say, you know, explain what's going on. And then you hear off screen, whoa, 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 you gotta be kidding me. And two unicorns show up, and they go, you're seriously pulling this pure of heart scam? And Mabel's like, scam? They go, unicorns can't see anything. All our horns can do is glow, point towards the nearest rainbow, and play rave music. To which, like...
they do.
He plays the music. And he says the whole pure of heart thing is just so humans leave them alone. And the Celesta Bell Bithabel is like, guys, shut up. So Mabel, like, has her breaking point and rips up her notebook, essentially, and throws it to the ground. And everyone's freaking out. And the unicorn's like, you know what? Fine. We're jerks, okay? You know our secrets. And we have so much hair that we don't know what to do with it. And what are you going to do about it, huh? What are you going to do? To which Mabel immediately punches the unicorn in the nose, and she starts bleeding from the impact, like rainbow blood. And everyone's shocked, and Wendy's like, yeah, go Mabel! And they go join the dark side. And she goes and fully loses it, ripping the unicorn off of her sweater, and everyone's like saying, fight, fight, fight! So they start to run at each other. Before we get to see any kind of fight between humans and unicorns, we're at the lab where Dipper is bored because he's only at like a 15% scan of his thoughts, and Ford has fallen asleep at the table. And Dipper has this whole conversation with himself, between himself and his thoughts, where he's like, well, should I figure out like what he's hiding from me about Bill? I mean, it doesn't seem like, it seems like an intrusion on privacy, blah, 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 blah. Eventually he decides he's just going to put the helmet on the sleeping Ford. And when he does, he like watches and he's like, all right, let's like just see what he's hiding. And he sees imagery of like Bill and Ford shaking hands. And then he sees like imagery of Ford's eyes changing and all of the things that basically like, the contract and everything. And while all of that is showing, there's some smaller screens showing Fiddleford McGucket before everything happened, like yelling at Ford, and McGucket screaming, where are these ideas coming from? Who are you working with? And like there's a whole bunch of flashing of words that ultimately lead to Ford writing I'm losing my mind and trust no one in his journal. And then you hear Stan say things like Ford is a dangerous know-it-all, and Dipper breaks after seeing like the agreement between Ford and Bill and is like they're working together, to which Ford's glasses are all glossed
like,
over.
Yeah, so you like can't
really
up.
Yeah, you can't really see his pupils. And he says like you shouldn't have done that. And when he throws off the helmet, it knocks down a whole bunch of stuff to show like drawings of Bill all over the walls, which makes Dipper more nervous and is like, why are you shaking hands with Bill? And he proceeds to protect the rift and holds up the memory gun and says like, you told me Bill could possess anybody. So like,
did you mention that the memory gun was in there earlier? I couldn't remember if you did.
I don't think I did. When did it first appear down there?
When they first go in, he goes to show, it's like in the very beginning, like it's, you see it on the table as he's walking past it.
Mm.
As he's like walking to the computer, like it's very much right on the, like in the foreground.
Okay. Yeah. I forgot to mention that, but
it's
yeah,
all
so
good.
So Ford's like, oh, careful, careful, hand me the rift, like, you know, trying to, like, say that, like, it's still him, and Dipper's doubting him, saying, like, are you Bill right now? Why are you scanning my thoughts? And before Ford can really, like, calm him down, he starts to say, like, calm down, and he starts to say the letter P, and Dipper's like, Pine Tree, is that what you're gonna call me? Because that, the only person that calls him that is Bill Cipher. Ford's like, I was just gonna say please, and Dipper ends up cornering himself, and he's like, get one step closer and I'll erase you right out of Ford's head. And Ford says, it's me, Dipper, it's your uncle. And Dipper is like whispering to himself, trust no one, trust no one. And they fight over the gun and it ends up firing at Ford, but it bounces off his glasses and like eventually like shoots into one of the screens that they were using to build proof his brain and breaks it. And Ford picks up Dipper before he can grab the gun, and Dipper's like saying, let go of me. But then he looks and adjusts his glasses and says, look into my eyes, my pupils are the same, it's totally fine, it's me, your uncle. And Dipper apologizes, and Ford reminds him that you can't erase his brain, and knocks on the metal plate on his head.
Mm-hmm.
But he was saying that like he's happy that he knows he can trust Dipper with a rift, and that Ford said he wished that he could be more like Dipper, and because Bill had tricked him, and it's the biggest regret in his life. It's always long ago he used to think that Bill Cipher was his friend. And then you find basically the origin story of how Bill came to be in this realm. And Ford had hit a roadblock in investigating Gravity Falls. He couldn't find the connections, and then he found himself in a cave, and very dumb of people in a cave to write the whole enchantment inscription of how to summon this being and say, don't do that. Just don't.
It made sense at the time.
But he read it out loud, and he didn't think anything of it. But then later on that afternoon, he had a weird dream, and it's similar to like what happened with Gideon, where everything is eyeballs and everything's creepy. So that happened to Ford. And what was it? Oh, Bill came and like greeted Ford, and Ford like screamed, and Bill, being who he is, was like, don't have a heart attack, you're not 92 yet. And in the flashback, he's asking who he is. He just says his name is Bill, and and claims that Stanford Pines is going to be the man who changed the world. But he's getting ahead of himself, because I believe, was it Bill says, he exists throughout all time, right? Like, time isn't linear for him. He knows what everything is happening all the time. And then he offers to play interdimensional chess with Ford and kind of, like, sucks up to him. And Bill lied, saying that he chooses only one brilliant mind per century to work with, and that Ford was the person he wanted to work with. So between flattery and games and everything, he allowed Bill to live in his mind and help him, like, connect pieces that Ford was stuck on. And he considered them partners. And there's, like, clips where sometimes Bill was possessing Ford, and McGucket would turn around and be like, what's going on here? And he had to shut his eyes really quickly. But Bill convinced him that the final piece of his research was going to be to build the interdimensional portal. And he built it, and we saw in a previous episode that McGucket got sucked into it, and that after that, Ford realized that Bill was a liar, and that the portal was meant to get Bill into the mortal realm. And Bill, when he's explaining this to him, has like an open rift, and there's a bunch of glowing eyes and monsters in the rift, and Bill's like, look, let's just say when the portal finishes charging up, your dimension is going to learn how to party. And he's like, right, guys? And all the monsters behind him start to, like, roar and cackle. So Ford's like, no, I'm shutting it down. Bill's like, hey, a deal's a deal. And his one nickname for Ford is IQ, because he's a smarter pants. And then in this clip, it's Sixer, because he's got the six fingers. But he tells Ford, basically, like, you can't just stop a bridge between our worlds from coming, but it would be fun to watch you try. It's cute, even. So Ford says that he felt betrayed, so he shut down the portal. And what's left is the rift. And to Bill, it's just a game, but to Gravity Falls, it's the end of our world. And then, like you said, there's the piece of paper that goes, like, our world, Nightmare Realm, and it just all connects together. So, Dipper and him are back in the living room, and Dipper admits to being embarrassed about it. And Ford says, no more secrets, because they're not the first idiots that have been tricked by Bill Cipher. So they think they could, you know, work together and figure out how to do it. And Dipper is like, but I broke the machine. How are you going to, like, Bill proof this place? In comes Mabel. And she shouts, did someone say unicorn hair? And Dipper's like, no. And then they look at the girls, and they're all covered in, like, rainbow stuff. And they explain that Mabel has unicorn hair, Candy has some unicorn tears, and that Grenna has unicorn eyelashes. And that Grenna's like, they finally gave us this treasure to just get rid of us. And Ford is like, wow, yeah, with this unicorn hair, we'll be able to completely shield the shack from Bill's mind-reading tricks. And Mabel's like, so is it okay? He's like, better than okay. It's perfect. You've protected the family, and you're a good person, Mabel. So Mabel's like, thanks, Grunkle Ford. And she's like, today I learned morality is relative. To which Santa immediately runs in and goes, money! And takes someone and runs away.
Takes the whole treasure chest.
Yeah. And then during the end credits scene, rather than it being kind of like an unrelated goofy thing, it's Dipper and Ford in the yard together, stretching the unicorn hair around the shack, and then you see a force field bubble up around it, and Ford says, this will protect us from Bill, as long as we're inside, our minds are safe. And Bill, watching from the mindscape, says that he can't possess anyone inside the shack, so he'll just have to find his next pawn on the outside. And then his eyes flash through a lot of the characters of Gravity Falls. And scene.
Yeah, I feel like the little end credit scenes are like, they're no longer fun, goofy ones. Like, I feel like now we're, it's very much build to the end.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because, like, watching the episode, it felt like there was a lot more Ford and Dipper. But, like, reading this, it feels like there was a lot more girls in the unicorns.
To me, it felt 50-50.
Yeah. And I think it was just, I was expecting more unicorn than Bill proofing their brains. And then it was like, there's a lot more this than the other one.
That's fair.
So. And then there's, Stan just doing crime somewhere.
Just being a criminal.
He's just collecting them all.
What's your opinion? What would you do about crime in Gravity Falls? Well, general crime or like what? My crimes?
Yes. But yeah, it's, yeah, this was like I think two episodes ago was like that was Dungeons and Dungeons and More Dungeons, and it's like that was like the last like fun, goofy, there was still like a lot of stuff that like there was still an important thing that happened in there of like getting Ford to trust the twins and the family, and like that needed to happen. But now it's like, all right, now that they all trust each other, now it's like bada bing bada boom. Bill's here. Which, who would have thought? He wasn't even like the main like villain in the first season. He was just a side character.
Mm-hmm.
But any poops, some revelations, continuity, yada 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 stuff. We learned that Ford's middle name is Philbrick, just like his after his father's name, which that means it's F. What? Oh shoot. What's their last name?
SFP. Stanford Philbrick.
Oh yeah, SFP. Yeah. I just, since his name, they keep calling him Ford. I'm like, oh yeah, he has Stan in front of his first name. Yeah, already mentioned the metal plate, and apparently Mabel's first word, according to her, was unicorn. Yeah, apparently Bill's older than our galaxy. And yeah, all the other stuff was kind of mentioned before. Something that I noticed was that Ford's, the carpet that switched everyone's minds was seen while he was sleeping. It's rolled up in the corner of his, and he has his room back now that he's here. Let's see. There's like, yeah, it seems like there's a bunch of other things. Like we said, the pug trafficking is mentioned from the last episode. The interdimensional rift, which is very important now from Dungeons & More Dungeons, makes an appearance. Yeah, callbacks to other episodes when they dealt with Bill. Oh, interesting. So this is all the, there's a bunch of text that is when he's plugged into, when Dipper's plugged into the computer. So apparently scenes from Taurus Trapped and Into the Bunker and Not What He Seems appear in Dipper's like text thoughts here. There's a message that says, I miss Tyrone, which is the first Dipper clone. a text, Who Stole the Capers, referring to a book from the Sibling Brothers series called The Case of the Case Capers, which he was reading in Carpe Diem when they would rub the carpet, switch to brains. Apparently, another book in that series is the telltale fable, The Unstable Table, which is what Dipper is reading, I think, in earlier in this episode. It also includes Eeny, Meeny, Miny, You, which is what Stan said to him in the first episode. And Taurus Trapped before Bill takes over Dipper's body. Oh, and it's also what Bill says when he took over Dipper's body in Sock Opera. Another thing was that red bathing suit man, referring to Wendy. Oh, comma, man. So that red bathing suit man, referring to Wendy in the lifeguard outfit. And also, I really should try out the President's Key sometimes, referring to the President's Key that Quentin Tremblay gave Dipper in Irrational Treasure. And as we said, audio and text of Dipper singing Disco Girl.
So, I have a visitor. I feel like he'll run away if I try and pick him up.
Oh.
I don't want to play tag right now, so he could just run back and forth for a little bit.
Tire himself out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much a lot of stuff. I thought that'd be fun when I saw that they wrote that all out. Fun little doobly-doos. And interesting. So a bit of trivia about this. Originally, the episode was going to go in the place of this one was to be a Wendy-focused episode. Folks in our home life where we somehow gained weather-controlling powers, this episode was actually very close to being produced before Hirsch scrapped it to write what this episode, which I guess is close to the fact that we read today. About there's a canceled episode, which I don't think it's the same thing. And there's the good, yeah, so that's pretty much, and then there's like a bunch of other stuff, like, and tons of different thoughts and other things that we don't have to go through. So, but yeah. So,
Hop. There's a lot in that bit of the episode. Yeah, I was just scrolling through more of the trivia and stuff.
There's a lot more things that Dipper says, and that, there's a few things that Ford says. But I have to ask, Hop, who's your favorite character in this episode?
There's a lot of good characters. I think my favorite is Grenda. I was between Grenda and
that's
Wendy.
There you go. Yep.
I'll fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was between Grenda and Wendy, but I think Grenda just makes me laugh. She had me laughing for the bit about the monks, where they're like, only the deepest voices, and she's like, okay, just hand it over.
The druids.
And then her doing the drug deal.
Mm-hmm.
Deals off. I don't know. It's just very entertaining and very out there. Like, while she still doesn't really have the most main character role, like, she doesn't really have a character arc in this episode. She just is Grenda, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
My favorite would have to be, Celebesta Bella de Beth the Bell. You can just write
paste.
You can just write C Beth. That's what the other ones call her. The other unicorns call her.
Or, copy paste.
I wasn't sure if it was gonna fit, but then I also remember I also have Lilliputian pirate captain.
Yes, very fun character.
I don't know. I don't know, does it ever say if it's a he or she? The unicorn just cracks me up, where it's just like, I don't know. I enjoy the chaos of characters that are just like, yes, do this thing. It will amount to nothing, but I'm not going to tell you that.
Just leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
So then that leaves us characters most like. So we have Ford, who thinks he's doing the family a service by keeping them a secret, but is trying to protect them. You have Dipper, who needs to know everything to feel comfortable with a situation. We have Mabel, who is worrying herself to death about being good enough for somebody else. We have Wendy, who takes everything into her own hands. Grenda and Candy are kind of... I don't think that they're really standouts as far as, like, relatable this episode. They're kind of just, like, silly.
Yeah, they're going with the flow.
Stan's doing crimes. Seuss is not here.
Yeah.
No Seuss. So I think me personally, I'm going to say Mabel. Not because necessarily about being pure of heart, but about letting expectations eat away at me. I'm in therapy. Don't worry, guys. Who are you most likely, Payne?
I don't know. It's, I want to say the barrel of pugs.
Getting smuggled across U.S. Yep. borders.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I keep forgetting that J.K. Simmons is Ford. And so every time I see his name, I'm like, oh, yeah. I think I'm Greg from Over the Garden Wall. I can't think of any characters, but I just miss them.
Potatoes and molasses.
In all seriousness, yeah, like going through it again, like Mabel, I don't know, I don't stress out that way that Mabel does in this episode. And I don't think I need to know everything like Dipper needs to. My main thing, if there's a character that was stressing about out, like, well, I think stress is probably needs to compulsively know how to people's schedule to make a schedule, that would fit me a lot more. But that's really not what Dipper is doing. Dan, I don't really align with Wendy. I guess, I don't know. I guess I could align with Ford a little bit, where it's just, I know there's times like where I probably wouldn't share like every little thing about a situation to let people worry or stuff like that. And just kind of like, just like, hey, let's just focus on what needs to be done or whatever. So I guess I'll write Ford because I can't think of any. I'm just writing down the old men.
I'm surprised you still didn't say Grunkle Stan last episode. Oh, time to wake up and see what part of me hurts today.
But I don't wake up thinking what hurts. It's the only time that I woke up like in pain was when, well, I guess technically every day I'm waking up in the name of pain, but is
in
when
the house of pain,
yeah, in the apartment of pain. is when I had the Charlie horse, when I thought my muscle was going to rip off my bone.
They're the worst.
Yeah, it's like, but normally it's like, if I'm gonna be hurting when I wake up, it's like, no, I know what did this. So.
Gotcha. But yeah, so are you settled on Ford?
Yep, it's written.
Okay. It's written in blood, as Mabel would have it, for her contract to go on.
I'm bleeding again?
Again?
Ugh. But.
It'd be real funny if you just went, bye-bye.
Oh, I was just going to say, I said I was going to look it up. Knife game also is known as Pinfinger, Nerve, Bishop. Is that just getting the name because that's what his name is in Alien? Aliens. Knifingies, Five Finger Fillet, or Fillet, Chicken, or Stab Between the Fingers game.
I like the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get it confused for anything else.
It's fun. But yes, that is it Everybody, we are drawing close to the end of this episode series. We got what? Yeah, there's 5 more episodes. So, exciting times. So anyway, thank you everybody. Hope you have a good night and or day or whatever you're listening to this. Till next time. Bye-bye.